Dave Moore
on Today FM.
Wouldn't mind just letting me interrupt there for a second. Cathal and Niall are just non-stop here talking about Westmeath GAA. Brezzy, how are you?
Hello, hello. What's going on?
Go on, give us a bit of Westmeath there, love. You're loving Westmeath doing so well at the moment in the football.
It's just been some crack.
So what was the story this weekend?
I mean, it was Galway. It was down in... I didn't make the game, but I, like...
You've been to the other games?
All the games, yeah. 20,000 Westmeath lads. No one can get tickets to their own games because Westmeath supporters are getting them. I don't know how they're going up there and they're pretending they're...
They have a backdoor into Ticketmaster and they're sorting it out.
In Monaghan now, and I'd say it'll be like five lads from Monaghan at the game.
It's kind of like Italian 90 in Westmeath at the moment.
Remember Italian 90? Like, we were talking about our memories of... After we bet Romania, my dad just put me on the bonnet of his car
and just started driving around.
And the police were like giving me a thumbs up. And, like, go
it's
for
true.
It.
Like, sport is mad like that. And like thinking of World Cups previous, obviously we're right in the middle of one right now, and there's so much, you know, negativity and questions around it, and then all of a sudden it starts and everyone forgets all that because the football's class and it distracts us from all that. But like, go back in time to those, you know, Italian 90, USA 94, like, it meant so much to the country.
There's a purity to it. It was pure. Like, now when you're seeing all the lads, I mean, I think, to me, I don't know if I can forget about everything now because the football started. I still think it's just been tainted too much, but I go back to that 90, not because we're not in it, but 90 and 94, like, what it did, like, it was just a wildness to the country.
Everyone
I
talks
young people to experience that.
I know, yeah. Because everyone talks about, say, like, there were areas in Dublin, and obviously I'm from Dublin, so like, kind of a Dublin bias and all that, but like, but the Walkers Down roundabout was chaos for like 2 days. Like, there were just cars stuck on it and no one cared. It was fine.
But we just closed down the county. It didn't work. Nothing worked. No one worked.
No.
It was like, and it was just, there were the good old days. But I just remember it. There was no rules. The law just didn't exist anymore.
Like, well,
kids on bonnets and driving through town. And tell them to hold on to the
wheel. But things have changed so much. I know recently a team in my neck of the woods won a cup, right? And no one like sits on bonnets, but they do roll the windows down and maybe sit on the edge of the window and holding on to the roof rack or whatever and waving the cup out the window or whatever. And they were pulled over, right? There was like three or four cars. They all got like 250 quid fines.
No.
Now look, I know road safety, and if the RSA are listening, you're absolutely right. Obviously kids shouldn't be hanging out cars.
How fast were they going?
No, they weren't going. They were driving at snail, because everyone was out on the road applauding them and all the rest. But like,
and
listen, I know.
What we need 1990, and there was no such thing as any legal stuff. And the other thing I remember, it was a Sheedy who scored against England. And my dad was holding me. I was like 10. Yeah. And he just threw me across the pub. And yet, who are you throwing me to? Like, where am I going? It's like that Tommy Tiernan, the Phantom.
Yeah.
We were full of TK lemonade and we were flying across Danny Burns and Mullingar.
Crowd surfing.
It was amazing.
Before you knew what it was.
First time surfing, yeah. Pretty impressive. Thanks. My parents obviously had real safety concerns about their children.
Listen, everyone back then lived a different life than we do nowadays, that's for sure. Tell me this, Metallica are coming up. You and I share a love of metal. Are you going to go along this weekend? Two nights in the event. You're going to go Sunday?
Yeah.
I'm going to go both nights. I cannot. Like, I haven't missed Metallica in Ireland since 1988. I'll tell you how old I am. But like, I've seen every show.
Do me one favor.
Yeah.
Don't do it. You know when someone goes on holiday and they send you pictures of my son? Don't do that to me. I'll send me pictures of the gig.
I'll send you everything.
I don't want to see what they're playing. I want to be surprised on Sunday.
You
don't
will
spoil
be.
It for me.
Well, that's the great thing about it is that I can't really spoil it because it's a two shows, no repeats.
Yeah.
So if they play Master of Puppets on Friday, they won't play it on Sunday. But if they don't play one on the Sunday, on the Friday, they'll play it on the Sunday. So like, whatever your favourite song is.
I play both of them on Friday. No. I'm not going on Sunday then.
You can't. That's the joy.
I play all their kind of shoegazy stuff.
No, there's none of that. So come here, football and GAA and heavy metal aside, you're a busy boy.
Doing a bit, all right.
You're doing loads.
Yeah.
I recently saw you up a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
You went up Ben Bulben.
Love mountains.
And you made a very beautiful video about how important, you know, the constancy of a mountain is.
Mm.
You know, and how much we can learn from it. I just want to ask you one question. What were you wearing when you went up there?
Well, I mean, we were trying to make a video, so we couldn't be too mountainy looking.
We have to be mountainy on a mountain. Like, you can't go up a mountain in the wrong footwear. What did you wear in your feet?
Chelsea boots.
This guy calling Ben Bulben in Chelsea boots.
With the gammiest ankles you've ever met. Like, my ankles have been twisted and broken and ripped apart so many times, and off I went up the mountain in a pair of Chelsea boots. I did splits within And the thing is, I know there's people listening to this who saying that's really, you can't be doing that. Yeah. I've climbed mountains many times.
Oh, he's an experienced mountaineer. Yeah.
I get it. I kind of said maybe Ben Bulbin would be different, and it wasn't.
No, you underestimated.
They're all the same.
One of the most incredible things I've experienced is you're the place that has never been wounded live in Camden Recording Studios in Dublin. And I don't mind praising you. I know you don't like it very much when people like that do things like that to you. But it was honestly one of the most moving, incredible shows I've been to in a long time. And the record is amazing. Then there's a book accompanying that as well. And there's a tour. And you're studying to do your master's. Like, how do you have time for any of this?
I don't. That's the truth about it. I just seem to
find your master's. You're PhD now, isn't it?
PhD, yeah. I'm very good at kind of putting things aside and going, for these few days, I'm doing nothing
okay.
with this.
Right.
And I put my
so
head down.
So you can laser focus on that.
Yeah, but they're different headspaces.
Right.
Like a PhD is not the same headspace as composing music. So it's a different thing. I think what I find difficult is the logistical side of music, where you have to like organize stuff and stuff like that. I'm not particularly good at. But I do, I love what I do. I can't describe to you what making or composing music does for me. The idea of coming into a room and something not existing and then existing when you leave it is a lovely experience, and it's a very settling thing for me to do. So people ask me, you know, what do I do for my head? That, I love it. Just like you and, you know, guitar, it's the same vibe for me. It's such an amazing thing to do. And also having a concept like The Place Has Never Been Wounded, the idea behind that was, you know, so much of what we're told is like what we don't have and what we need more of, and, you know, it's constant. And I'm like, well, maybe we should spend a little bit of time thinking about what we do have and what's within us. And it comes from this Meister Eckhart quote, there's a place within the soul that's never been wounded, no one's ever hurt it. Or I just thought that was a really strong metaphor, especially at the moment, given the utter chaos that we're navigating.
Yeah, the Straits of Hormuz will open again apparently soon.
Oh, brilliant.
But yeah, so because the concept is really strong, but then it requires you to write, compose and perform music that equates to the strength of that, the sentiment behind that. And that's not an easy thing to do, but you did it in spades.
But you talked about this as well. You're talking about metal. Like, I found myself now in my 40s going back to the music I would have loved when I was younger, like classical and neoclassical, but also metal. And I was wondering, why is it that I find those that type of music so appealing? It's because there's emotion in it. Metal has anger, and I think anger is a really important emotion. When you listen to it, you do feel like you're releasing something. And I think the kind of stuff that I'm writing, it's a way of me kind of communicating certain things. People have this kind of perception, because what I do and what I study, that I can communicate all this stuff that goes on in my head. I have no hope.
Yeah.
What goes on up there? No one wants to know. Genuinely. No one needs to know. But when you put
the music,
it's a good way of kind of getting things across for me.
But then you need to turn that into a book. You didn't have to, but you turned that into a book then as well, which is beautiful.
Yeah, it was because I was getting too tired trying to explain what the album was about. So let's
write a book about it.
The book. It makes more sense. Where every chapter is a track.
Yeah.
And the idea is, over those 14 pieces of music, we bring you to that place that's never been wounded within you. And that was the kind of concept. And it was a big concept. And then we had to bring it to a live stage, which is an entirely different thing.
Yeah.
There's a visual and there's all of that stuff. But it's been an absolute privilege. Like, I'm already, you know, I'm in my 40s now, I suppose, and you want to keep making music.
Yeah.
And it's so important to me. So I kind of, this feels like the music I came back to, because this is where I started.
October 1st, Dublin in Vicar Street, the 4th in UCH in Limerick with the Irish Chamber Orchestra, and the 9th in Mullingar Cathedral of Christ the King with the Cathedral Choristers. You must have done stuff in that before.
I have. I still have slight, you know, PTSD from what I used to have to do.
Like,
I started my music with the choristers, which is this amazing choir in the cathedral.
In Mullingar, right.
The cathedral was massive. It was like 3,000 people. And we used to go in on a Sunday morning, and they'd pick the soloist, who's going to sing a soloist for the choir, on the altar. And you couldn't sleep Saturday night going, if they pick me. they always picked me.
Okay, so what did you have to sing?
You'd stand like Panos Angelicus, and you'd stand on stage and you'd sing.
Are you in a little surplus yeah, dress thing?
Half 12 mass, when they used to sell out, remember when we were busy?
Those were the days.
And you'd have to walk down, and it's like what felt like 14 miles down. You're walking all the lads to school and they're looking at you, and the stink eye you were getting walking back.
Really?
And, you were getting tortured in school the next day. And that's what it was. You're like, oh jeez, don't make me sing. And I'd have to walk down, and these lads were more kind of cobained and handled, now to be fair to them. So there was a bit of that, but I think that's where I first learned to perform, was in a choir. That's where my musical education came from, and they're playing with me in the cathedral. They're coming back full circle to do the
that's
show.
That's unreal.
Which is, like, hopefully the and the lads who are giving me stink eye are probably going to still be there.
I was going to say, they'll be sitting there listening to it. The 16th, Waterford Theatre Royal, November the 8th, Wexford in the Opera House. What a place. It's all live performances. Friends. Yeah, it is. It's incredible. Live performances of The Place That Has Never Been Wounded. I highly recommend, even if, you know, you want to bypass any of the messaging behind it, don't. But if you do, just get it for the music. It's genuinely a phenomenal piece of work. I really enjoy it. So make sure you get it and stick it on in the background and you'll feel better about yourself.
Yup, Westmead.
Yup, Westmead. And we'll see you at Metallica over the weekend at some stage.
In the snake pit.
Yeah, calm down if you're in there, all right? Relax.
Dave Moore on Today FM.